Thank you for joining us for another episode of WQPH's Local Matters. Father Maurice Ibe is our spiritual director here at WQPH, and he made a special appearance from the Vatican last week. He arrived for a special mass and to talk with us about an upcoming pilgrimage to Rome that is taking place with WQPH in October to November. It's a special week filled with a lot of historic happenings, especially during this Jubilee year. Now we take you into a special offer where we're collecting prayer intentions for our new Pope.
We have that pilgrimage coming up to Italy, and we're thinking that we should let people have a way of giving us a prayer intention to give to the Pope, and we'll hand deliver them. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea.
So if you have a prayer intention that you'd like the Pope to pray for, just send it to our same address or email it to us, Post Office Box 589,
Medford, Mass.
02155.
Great.
Send your prayer intention, and we'll be very happy. We're leaving on the 28th of October, so you got to get your mail out to us so we get it, and we're going to put it in really nice little bags and bring it to the Pope.
And you've just addressed it as for the Pope.
Give my intention to the Pope.
Pope Leo.
Pope Leo the 14th.
And I'm sure he's going to like these bags of intentions that we're going to give him to deliver it.
We'll have big pillowcases.
We're going to get big pillowcases and stuff them with the pre-intentions.
Thank you for joining us on WQPH, 89.3 FM Shirley Fitchburg, Queen of Perpetual Help and another edition of Local Matters. On this week's broadcast, we bring you a special interview from San Demiano, Italy. We're back from our pilgrimage, and we had a wonderful pilgrimage. And Father Maurice Ibe was on that pilgrimage. He speaks with us a bit about All Souls Month, the month of November, to pray for the souls in purgatory. He also speaks to us about prayer and what is important. Prior to that, there are a few special announcements from Mary Ann about Divine Mercy. Thank you for listening to WQPH 89.3 FM Shirley Fitchburg, Queen of Perpetual Help and another edition of Local Matters. And here we are again. I'm with Mary Ann.
Hello, everybody. It's great to hear from you again, Jeannie.
Now, we were talking about Divine Mercy, and I just want to say that we have a mission for Divine Mercy that is going on right now. We invite you to become a part of this transformative mission. Together, we can spread the message of Divine Mercy by placing images across all 59 cities and 292 towns of Massachusetts and beyond, if this is God's will. And there are some locations we are looking into right now to put up Divine Mercy images. And please talk about that, Marianne.
Yes, I will. I am so thrilled that the Divine Mercy is spreading all over Massachusetts because we have some very generous donors who have made it possible to put it at St. Bernard's Church. And Father Dolan loved it so much, he ordered another one for the other door, the other side of the door. If you go by there, you'll see it. And then the other one that's going up new, Tim Kilcoyne from
Talk Catholic,
he is sponsoring one. And it's right in Still River. And Brother Thomas has approved it. I think they're going to put it up next couple of weeks. And it's going to be on the soccer field. And it'll be overlooking all of the Wachusett's Mountains.
Beautiful.
And all those school children will see what Jesus really looks like. Really, the Divine Mercy image of him, which is just so compelling. So we're going to pray for him to get that up. Where else? The one that's the most important is,
yes,
I gave you the picture of it.
Yes,
it's right here.
It's beautiful. It's Our Lady of the Universe in Boston that overlooks Logan Airport.
If you have not been to that Shrine of the Universe in East Boston, you need to go. It has been so transfixed.
And we want to thank Diane Jones, who's one of the many donors that we've had for this mission. If you want to make a donation for this, we plan on having the form up on WQPHradio.org.
Yes, it's called Join the Missionaries of Divine Mercy.
Yes.
So look forward to that. And Jesus said to St. Faustina, by means of this image, I shall be granting many graces to souls. So let every soul have access to it. That's from her diary, 570. The form says, I'd like to contribute to getting one of these images up. Please follow the instructions if you want to make a donation, and your name, address, and phone number, and email. If you're paying by check, make it out to Eternal Life Radio, 60 Woven Street, Medford, Mass.
Now,
2155. We have a priest. He put two up already in his church and got transferred. And so now Father Walter is in Holy Family, and he's having his parishioners all pitched in, and they're going to have this put up. So that's three. I think we're going to have six. There's a few more. What we ask everyone to do is to be a go-getter. And when Rich Wenzel comes here with his son to install them, it's so much fun. This is really history. And I know people, when they see the image, we have pictures of them with children going and praying in front of them, like at St. Anthony's and St. Joseph's. We have pictures of this, of how this affects people when they see Jesus.
And Still River is another beautiful location, you know, from the housetops with Brother Matthew. He broadcasts from there, and it is just it's a very important location for that to be in. So we thank Talk Catholic for
yes,
Tim.
Congratulations to Tim
for helping
sponsoring
with that.
Now, the other thing we're trying to put in his ear is we service the prison area. We would like to have a Divine Mercy near the prisons that's accessible to be seen, because these men need hope.
Yes.
The kind people that work in these places.
Yes. I have a friend who visits those places. I have relatives that visit those places and minister to the prisoners. They don't have a lot of hope. And
we have to give them hope. Mm-hmm. And they listen, because when we went with Father Leonard a few years ago, one of the inmates that was in a wheelchair came up and said, QPH, QPH, QPH. Mm-hmm. I said, yes. He goes, I listen to this every night. I will never get out of here, but I can listen to this radio every night from my bed.
Wow.
So you are giving hope to a lot of people out there.
Now, speaking of prayer, we had quite a few prayer intentions being announced on the air from that Divine Mercy trip. And we always have our prayer wall on WQPHradio.org for you to pray. A couple of people we'd like to pray for is Shelley, and we'd like to pray for the passing of Jim.
That's right. And a lot of people feel that we're going through the tribulation now,
mm-hmm.
right? We have a time of hope, because when we all get together, we get miracles.
Yes.
Right? We're all praying together, going to adoration. Every act of mercy you can do for someone to help them.
It would be wonderful if you went online and you listened to WQPHradio.org from the website or your app. And
perfect.
That would be helpful. And prayers are always welcome.
And
thank
don't
you
forget
so much.
To say hi to us,
yes.
Jeannie and Marianne. And if you have a suggestion, let us know.
Thank you very much. And now we continue with local matters.
God bless you.
Well, I'm honored to be here in San Damiano in Italy, Piacenza, and I'm here with our spiritual director of WQPH, Father Maurice. Wonderful to be with you today.
Thank you very much.
Now, as the spiritual director, I would like to ask you how you became the spiritual director of WQPH.
I was sent to work at St. Joseph's in Medford. And that was in 2016. The founder of WQPH, Mary Ann Harrell, was a parishioner. And so I got to know her, I got to know the legionaries. And from that moment, I took interest. And gradually, you know, Mary Ann will always say, can you do this, can you do that? And before you find yourself, you're already so involved. So it started way back then, 2016, and ever since, I've been very happy to be a part of this great tool of evangelization.
Well, that's a familiar story for me as well as a production director here. Just you get involved and it becomes like a wonderful experience and something that you want to watch grow and endure. And I wanted to ask you about your spiritual journey to become a priest and what that was like for you. And I really want to know, like, what first encouraged you to become one? What was the moment that you said, I think it's time?
I was born in Cameroon, in Africa, and my vocation is tied to my Christian upbringing, especially by in my family. My mom is a very devout Catholic, and I can say I grew up in the bosom of the church. And as a young man, I was an altar server. I used to serve Mass. We had a white missionary priest, and then later on, we started receiving a black priest, African priest. And I began noticing that I loved being around the altar. I loved the role of the priest. And at home, I would practice how to celebrate Mass as a baby.
Yes.
I would do little masses in the house, imitating.
Oh, that's amazing.
Imitating the priest that I would see at church. And as I went to middle school and high school, the thought was there, and then I thought of something else like every other young person will do. But then when I left high school, at my last year of high school, it was clear to me that maybe the Lord was calling me to this. So I applied, went to the seminary. That was 25 years ago. And it's been one step at a time. And the Lord shows us day by day that we made the right discernment.
Well, what's amazing to me about your story is that when I was a kid, I used to pretend I was a DJ on the radio.
Oh.
And I used to pretend to be on the air and to introduce songs and introduce people. And so I understand that.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever heard a story quite like yours. It's very unique to me.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when we went, this was 1986 summer. I just started school, and I went to the village. They were asking us, the children, what do you like to be? And I said, when I grow up, I like to be a priest. And everybody looked at me and laughed. And that response always comes back to me, that as a baby, as a first kinder, the school, I said that, and from 1986 to 1999, when I left high school, it was a long time, and yet I still kept, it would seem that response at the time, the Lord took it seriously and never let me off the hook.
And also feel like, in a way, when you get that kind of response, it kind of only fuels your determination to be a priest more, because you're doing what's in your heart and in your mind, and they meet together.
Yeah.
And you were recently in Rome, and please tell me about Rome and your experiences.
Yeah, I worked in Cameroon after my ordination. Then I was sent to Boston. I studied and worked in Boston for 11 years, and now the church asked me to move to Rome this past August. So I've been in Rome now for 2 months. I work at the Carling Institute of Technology. I teach philosophy and theology. I'm a professor by practice. And I'm here at San Damiano because when Marianne told me about this pilgrimage, I felt it was important because you can be doing so many things, but the emphasis on prayer at San Damiano, the devotion to Our Lady, is something that has deeply moved me ever since I got here on Friday. And I'm very happy that I'm here, leaving the busyness of Rome to come here and just to pray. It's wonderful.
And we're filming this on All Souls Day, and we're in All Souls Month, in the month of November.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to see how many people are here to pray. I went to church this morning. There were people waiting outside to get into church.
Yeah.
And last year when I was here, there were so many people in adoration that there were people waiting outside to get into adoration once it was a little less crowded. And it's just amazing. It's such a peaceful place to be here. And there are the church bells.
Beautiful. Reminding us of God's entering into time. Yeah, I think that's really the beauty that I have encountered here these 2 days. You know, the primacy of prayer. importance of prayer. We live in a world in which we can be very busy, we can be very technocratic and very professional, but to come away and just be with the Lord, you know, one of the word of life that has stood out for me is an inscription on the back that Mary Ann has been carrying around from St. Padre Pio: pray, hope, and don't worry. I think that's what I'm taking out of San Damiano. And it's very helpful to see the connection between Mama Rosa and Padre Pio in this beautiful place.
Would you say that that's part of your mission as a priest? I know everyone has their own unique message they'd like to convey as in their profession.
Yeah, I would say yes. I think we live in a time in which people can easily fall into despair. But to get the words pray, hope, and don't worry, it kind of speaks to this common sense of anxiety that affects most of us. So to me, that's really the message. If you ask me, leaving San Damiano today, what are you taking as message? I would say pray, hope, and don't worry.
Yes. And although it's sometimes difficult to do,
It is. It's definitely difficult because it says that you don't have immediate results. You have to rely on God to act in God's own best time.
Yes. Yeah. And sometimes your timing is not His.
Definitely.
But you pray that when the timing comes, it's His.
Yes.
Exactly what you hope, or maybe more so.
Yes. Yeah.
And for WQPH, what do you think the direction we should be going in as a station, and do you have any plans for WQPH as a spiritual director? What encouragement can you give people?
I would like to thank all those like you and everybody that is involved with WQPH, the work. James Gilbert, Mary Ann, you, everybody that gives time, talent, and treasure. I would encourage people to continue to give the kingdom, the work of the new evangelization of the kingdom of God. We are the ones to step up and do it. By our baptism, all of us are sent on mission. So the work of WQPH is not some luxurious extra work. It's work coming from our baptism. We have taken upon ourselves, we have promised the Lord to be evangelists and missionaries. And so I will encourage all to do that, to give to that, to commit to that, that every little step that we take brings about the kingdom of God in the world. It helps to open the world to the presence of God, which is often like a mustard seed that we don't always see the results immediately, but it blossoms and bears fruit that will last.
Wonderful. Now, last year we went to St. Leopoldo's shrine in Padua, and we presented a cloak from EWTN. And they knew EWTN right away, and we are affiliate of EWTN. You tell me you've worked with them a little bit. Please tell me a little about your experience with them.
I've been there to Alabama a couple of times, the shrine. Mother Angelica, I have a great love for her and affection for her. I have done a program on the church in Africa with EWTN. I think it ran twice this year, 2024. I like the outreach and the attention that EWTN is paying, particularly to the church in Africa. So it's the fastest growing part of the world church. It's very dynamic, but oftentimes it's not covered. So EWTN is making a conscious outreach to cover the growth of the life of faith, hope, and love. And that I really appreciate as an African. And I can only say it's a gift from God to us today for the new evangelization.
And on the WQPH website, we offer opportunities for people to send a prayer or have a mass said in Africa as well.
Yes, which is beautiful. It's a great cooperation, spiritual cooperation between the church in Africa and the church in the United States. And I can only encourage more of our listeners to do that.
And on our WQPH app, we also offer indulgences, and it being the month of All Souls Month, a lot of people might want to have masses said for their loved ones who have just passed, and particularly for me, my father passed in April, and so being here in being here at San Damiano and on this particular day, you're praying for the saving each soul that has gone to heaven or is stuck in purgatory. And do you have anything you'd like to say about All Souls
Day? Today we are going to have a Mass at 5 p.m. here, and we are going to offer it for all the faithful departed, but particularly for all the departed, the faithful departed members and friends and family members and friends of our listeners, of our radio, of all the pilgrims here. In short, why I'm going to pass around a list for all the pilgrims to write the names of those that they want the Mass to be offered for. We'll pray for them and pray for the grace that if they be in purgatory, the Lord should purify them and take the holy souls into His presence, that they may see the Lord's face to face and come to the joy of the Lord's presence.
Yes. You can feel this is such a special day today.
Yeah, sure, sure.
The other question I would like to ask is how you feel about confession, and you have any special messages you'd like to say about confession?
Yeah, as I try to be a practicing Christian, a practicing Catholic, so I frequent the sacrament of confession very much. In fact, I went for confession this morning. So it's for me a great grace. I don't know how I would have been a Catholic or a Christian without the sacrament of confession. It gives me opportunity to start all over. You know, the words that John the Baptist uttered when he pointed the disciples to Jesus, you know, Ecce Agnus Dei qui tollis peccata mundi. You know, behold, that's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That comes alive every time we celebrate confession. So I can only encourage the Catholics to take advantage, especially during this month of November when we pray for the dead, to celebrate the sacrament of confession and to offer up prayers as well for the faithful departed. Confession is beautiful. After the Eucharist, I would say it's one of my most favorite sacraments.
Yes, I know. You feel refreshed,
yes.
Like you've had a burden lifted off
yes.
your shoulders.
Yes.
And
yes.
especially if you have a worry that's weighing on you so much.
Yes.
And it's something that you can't seem to get out of your mind.
Yes.
Once you've lifted that and spoke to someone, I can't tell you how many times that has helped
yes.
me
yes.
in my life. Now, you mentioned you were also a professor. Coming
yes.
with being a priest, what is that like for you?
That's a good question. I always say, I sometimes joke with the students, I say, I am doing a work of mercy. One of the works of mercy is to instruct the ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, I'm instructing the ignorant. I've been a professor now for, I started teaching in January 2016, so maybe 8 years now, going to 9 years. And it's been wonderful. I like the fact that I'm able to, I consider teaching as being involved in the pastorality of truth. So the church has a body of teachings which it has to communicate to people, to help people on the way to salvation. And that's really what we do as theologians and as philosophers, to help people to know Jesus Christ, and by knowing Jesus Christ, find the meaning of their lives. I teach philosophy, I teach theology, and I like both disciplines, and I teach philosophy of religion as well. And all of both disciplines, I find them interrelated and helpful in that they all raise the fundamental questions of why am I here? Who am I? Where am I? What's the meaning of life? Where am I heading to? after this life is ended? Is there a purpose? Does life have a meaning? Is there a purpose to life? And philosophy looks at that question in the grand scheme of things. Theology looks at the question as God coming to help us to resolve it. And theology is us thinking it. And philosophy is us thinking about it. Theology is us receiving it as a gift.
Yes. What do you think your experience is as a priest? Like when you were a kid, did you imagine what you would do? Is there anything that you experienced in your,
everything
in your
has, experience? Everything has been very strange to me. Because I didn't know I was going to sit in a place called San Damiano someday. I didn't know I was going to go to Boston. I didn't know I was going to work in Rome. It's just been one thing or another. I would say all has been God's unplanned grace, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It's been one adventure after another. If you had asked me October last year that I would be sitting at San Damiano today, this November, I would have said, what do you mean? I would have asked you that, where is this place? But here am I. November 1st last year, I was in Boston. November 1st, 2024, I am at San Damiano. Where will I be November 1st, 2025? Only God knows.
Would you ever think you were going to be the spiritual director of a radio station?
No idea.
So what's your favorite part of being a priest?
To celebrate the Eucharist.
Celebrate the Eucharist.
To be in the Lord's presence.
Mm-hmm.
If
yes.
I had to live all over, that's what I would still want to do. To be a Catholic priest, to be there for the Lord, to be in the Lord's presence. Pray, hope, and don't worry.
Okay. Thank you very much, Father Maurice.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to another edition of WQPH's Local Matters. We hope you enjoyed the broadcast and hope you have a blessed week.